All right, everybody, welcome to Yeah, But Still. On the line, we have Hassan Piker, and we have, who else do we have? Oh, Brandon. Brandon's here. We have you.
What was that? What's,
Who's that other guy?
Oh, yeah.
Who's that? What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Welcome to Yeah, But Still, Hassan. We've wanted to have you on for a long time.
I know. I'm very excited to be on, finally. I originally thought, like, you know, what's going on? You guys aren't asking me to come on. You're having guests come on a second time, a third time. I'm still waiting. I'm like, all right, I guess they just don't want me to be on here. It's fine, I guess. It's whatever.
Well, and then now it's hard to get you on. You're streaming so much.
Yeah, that's true. I'm doing 12 to 13 hours every day.
For those who don't know, Hassan Piker, formerly now from the Young Turks, right? Formerly?
Yeah. Yep.
Now full-time Twitch streamer.
Full-time Twitch?
Yeah. Full-time Twitch streamer.
Didn't know that. There's no... are you still... There's no, like, political job.
No, I do political commentary on Twitch.
Still... Okay.
Yeah, so technically, I'm still doing
politics. Full indie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess TYT is technically indie, too. Or was indie. I guess they went mainstream. But...
Well, I guess, like, I don't know if we've really talked about this, but, like, I mean, like, we have, you know, we have, like, a lot of mutual friends now. You know, I see you around, whatever. You know, we're friendly, right? Uh-huh. But before I knew you, I only knew of you because of the whole, like, oh, Hassan Piker is the woke bae or whatever online. And I was like, who the fuck? And then I was like, okay, this is a cool guy.
I mean, he's still a woke bae.
That was not, you didn't choose that narrative.
No, I didn't.
This is what happens.
Yeah. I think everyone who called me that now fucking hate me because of my, rabid support for Bernie Sanders. Like, all of the people that are really into the aesthetics of the whole, oh, this person is, like, hot and he's a liberal, realized that I wasn't a liberal, now they're mad at me, I think.
That's all they really care about is aesthetics, ultimately.
Yeah.
You've elevated to leftist Chad.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's more in line with my worldview, but, the woke bay thing was good marketing, I guess. I mean, it worked. I think I probably radicalized a bunch of Facebook moms and stuff.
Yeah, you were full Facebook boy.
Yeah. I was a big,
I mean, you're
Facebook.
still thirst trapping.
The corona stuff has really diminished my capacity to thirst trap.
I feel like that's really taken a... I feel like thirst traps have absolutely taken a hit.
The thirst economy is...
Yeah.
Dive bombing.
Well, there's just, like, less, you know, you're inside, there's no natural sunlight.
Yeah.
The OK Boomer girl has scooped up the entire thirst economy.
I know.
Okay, I'm done with her. I'm fucking done with her.
Yeah, you guys both fell victims to that. I saw right through that.
Listen,
I saw Hassan
retweet
it early.
I'm fucking done with her. I'm done.
I take credit for this. Like, I'm not me, obviously, not me, us, but, like... It was a perfect combination of horniness in my audience and also love for Bernie Sanders. So, like, both horniness for girls and milkers, but also horniness for Bernie Sanders. When I retweeted it early on stream, they, like, memed it. They were like, haha, like, you know, because I've known her. I've known her for, she used to come into my Twitch chat all the time. Like, I've known her for a while.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah.
What?
And she was just, like, a random Twitch streamer, like, on the lower end, you know, she was, I think, I forget what she was doing, but, like, she was always, like, a partner Twitch streamer. But,
yeah.
I retweeted it when it had, like, 5,000 views.
Yeah, she got too powerful.
And then the next day I looked back and it was like, and it had, like, sub 1K retweets at that point. And then the next day I looked back and I was like, oh no.
Does somebody want to explain this for the audience, or should I, in case people aren't online?
How would you, How would you explain?
It's like
okay, boomer girl.
Was it even a Vine? It was like a girl in a Bernie Sanders shirt.
It was a TikTok.
Like,
no, it was a TikTok.
Oh, that's what I meant. TikTok. Like,
Jesus.
And I don't know.
You're the boomer, Jack.
I know.
Crap.
Well, I'm getting boomer brain from the quarantine. But she's in a Bernie Sanders like cutoff shirt and like doing a, like a little dance too. I'm not familiar. Was that like a song that exists on TikTok, like an okay boomer song?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
I think so.
It was very much a thirst trap type post. That's kind of when I knew things were going to start making, maybe taking a turn for the campaigns. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is, I can't say why, but this just feels bad. Something's up. Something's up.
You're like, this is taking the campaign down, I think. It's,
yeah.
And you were right.
That definitely marks, it definitely does mark a shift.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the timeline, and I didn't know that there's like an official Bernie Sanders TikTok.
Yeah.
And like she's on there, which I'm like, that seems like kind of a wild decision.
Yeah.
On the campaign's behalf. I don't think Bernie Sanders himself was like, oh, we gotta get Nico Lol. We gotta get this e-girl. She's
Nico Lol, like, please follow me back.
She's like really went like she started leaning into the like I'm a sexy little girl thing.
I'm a baby. I'm just a baby.
I'm
no,
yeah,
she's been,
really
she,
started
she's
leaning
been
into like
that.
Sexy baby, and I was like, but I feel like she doubled down.
That Brandon's like, that's my fucking thing, dude.
No. No, so I can attest to this because, like I said, I've known her for like a while.
Dude, she's always been a sexy baby.
No. She's been doing. I was always a little weirded out by it. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I think she's a very nice girl. Like I she's an incredibly nice girl. Okay, she's super nice. But having said that, I never understood that like the red rosy cheek thing that she did. Like that was always a consistent thing. Like that's not a new branding opportunity. I think that was an early branding opportunity that just like now is working for her. I just want to clarify. Yeah. She was always a sexy baby.
So basically we brought this up to say that the thirst trap market, the whole thirst trap economy is shot right now. Absolutely plummeting. Meanwhile, her stock rose and got inflated. And now there's like backlash. I've seen backlash.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's all real dumb.
Guys are getting too horny. Yeah, it is dumb.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
everyone is horny right now. Like, guys, girls, everyone is just like, I mean, people are just posting ridiculous stuff all the time. I'm really horny, too. I mean, I'm not even hiding it, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon's always horny.
Are you wifed up, Hassan?
I am not. So this is a terrible time.
Oh,
to be
you don't have
single.
A...
I don't have a
no core slam piece.
Quarantine bay, I think is the is
yeah. There's
the
got to be a what you've said that a couple times. I feel like there's got to be a better term, Brandon.
Quarantine slam piece. I like that more than quarantine bay.
There's got to be a better one.
Quarantine slam piece sounds like Brandon is making a pivot to Barstool.
Yeah,
like he's just
you know. Yeah. Today we're talking about smokes.
Yeah,
we're taking
smoke show is even better.
Yeah, Brandon went from...
It has a more mystique
to
it. Slam piece. It sounds like something you like chop wood on, you know?
He went from you know, fit pics and the fashion phase to fully now the Barstool phase. This is the next phase
of
Brandon.
I'm entering
Wardell.
Barstool phase. We've entered phase three.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I never said bro until, you know... I started saying bro as a joke, and then now I say bro all the time. I feel like this is how it happens.
Yeah, that's true. But no,
yeah.
Hassan...
I'm going to start being a guy that says smoke shows all the time.
You are, basically.
Slam piece.
Sounds like
I stole
a tool that you have in your garage.
I stole this from... My girlfriend said it.
Okay.
She said slam piece before me.
Oh, so you're girlfriend appropriation right now. You're stealing her jokes.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's not a joke. It's just sort of a phrase.
Her dialect.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's just
fine.
Sort of a, this is, you know, this is what happens. But no, it really is like, if you were, you know, if you were some kind of pimp, some kind of player, you know, things were going great for you. You had a rotation all of a sudden, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, well, you're getting payback.
Yeah.
Right now for this your
is, yeah, it's devastated me. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, listen, I took a pivot towards Twitch and was early in on the quarantine memes. Like, I was already I was already in self-isolation, right? And I have been for a while because Twitch requires you to be in front of the camera for like 8 hours a day on the minimum end, right? So I was
they
already...
They require you.
I mean, it doesn't require you, but like if you want to be successful on the platform, like that's what the that's the recommendation I give to other people who ask me like, okay, what do you have to do? Like 6 to 8 hours every day at least.
Yeah.
So I was already doing that. And also I was doing it as like a basically a full-time job on top of my pre-existing full-time job at the Young Turks. So I was already like never really talking to people and just working all day nonstop from like 6 a.m. all the way to 12 a.m. But yeah, now I don't even have the access to just like shut off the stream early on certain nights and just like hit up a friend and go hang out. And I realized that I took that for granted. I don't have any of my babes or slam pieces, as Brandon would say, in rotation. I don't have any of that. So
it's a shame.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm also kind of terrified of getting coronavirus. So like, I can't meet new girls, but I don't know. I mean, it's been like a month. Like I said, because I was ahead of the quarantine stuff, so it's been like a month for me of being in quarantine. So a week more of this, and I might reopen the economy. You know, Donald Trump was right. We got to reopen the economy. We got to open it strong. It's going to be tremendous.
Yes.
I might just bite the bullet and get coronavirus just to get laid.
Break the quarantine to do literally the most dangerous thing you could do in terms of risking getting coronavirus.
So go, viruses don't stack. So, you know, at least if I get the coronavirus, like I don't get herpes. You know what I mean? Like that's
flawless like, logic.
Yeah, that's how it works. Also, viruses do stack. That's yeah, just, I know. I'm We're sorry. Joking. I just wanted to.
Disclaimer.
I'm just joking. Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to get sued.
Yeah, because like people are very stupid.
But dude.
So. Sued by who?
The government.
The CDC, the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, my podcast
Anthony
just got
Fauci.
Sued by the government.
But you've been, dude, I saw you posting that you're like getting exhausted. You've been, and when we were planning this, you're like, well, I stream from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Like you're doing like 12, 13 hour stretches on Twitch. This seems literally dangerous and just out of control. I don't know how you do
well,
that.
I have nothing else going on. You're so just, that's the problem.
13 hours, you need to form a union. And negotiate with yourself, man.
Yeah, I know. It's well, look, I'm obviously not alienated from my labor. So, you know, I own my means of production, which is great. But and I'm very fortunate, but there's two reasons for this. Like first and foremost, it's because I have to keep busy. Like if I don't stay busy, I will go crazy. I will lose my mind because there's nothing. I have nothing else going on. You know what I mean? I don't
for sure.
have a girl that's taking up any of my time. I just don't have anything else going on in my life. I live alone. You know what I mean? So I have to keep my mind occupied. And the other reason is because, and this is a little, it might come across as cheesy, but it is legit. Like there are a lot of people who don't really have any other like form of entertainment. They come in every day and they sit there.
No, for you know, sure.
The whole time.
8,000 of them. Yeah, they do.
Wild.
Like, there are people who are like, thank you for streaming through this process.
Thank you
like,
for your service.
Like, it's not like that. But, I mean, we do talk a lot about, we do organize. And we do talk a lot about, like, people who are being laid off and the struggles that they go through and stuff like that. On the, at least the news portion of it.
Yeah.
The more serious portion of it. So there are a lot of people who appreciate that there's someone out there at least like getting the word out on, you know, the conditions of Amazon factory workers and things like that. So that's the other part of the reason, because I feel like a lot of people also are very depressed and isolated and they feel a sense of community by coming into my Twitch chat and saying I have a small head or that I'm a stupid communist moron. And, like, without that... Without that, what would they do?
Yes.
You know? Do you get trolled
Probably,
ever on there?
You know?
Do the trolls
oh my
come
God.
In?
God. Oh, that's, of course, dude.
Dude, what's...
That's good. That's like, that's, you know, they'd have a bullet through their brain.
Yeah,
if this wasn't, you know, if they didn't have this kind of release.
Can you explain something to me, Hassan? There's like, aren't there like other Twitch guys that you like debate with? Like, isn't one called Destiny or something? Somebody's explained these people to me. Like, what's the deal with this? Because like, I'm unfamiliar with, this is a whole universe of like political Twitch, and there's these characters on there that I'm like, I vaguely heard of, but they sound pretty funny. Like, start with him. What's his deal?
Okay, so there is a guy, he is an ex-StarCraft pro. So he was like a StarCraft pro. He used to be like a libertarian edgelord guy. He's one of those guys who's like, I'm an autodidact. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he dropped out of music school. We used to be good friends for a little bit when I first came on the platform, because he was the only person on the platform, seemingly the only other person on the platform who was like talking about politics. But his entry point into the political world has always been just debating. Like, he is a debate lord.
Yeah.
You know the type. Mm-hmm. And I am not. I'm very much not a debate lord. I hate debating. I do it from time to time. I don't think I'm very good at it. But, you know, I'll debate, you know, conservative commentators on TV shows and stuff like that, or like Politicon. But because of an upcoming debate with Charlie Kirk at the time, I reached out to Destiny and I was like, hey man, let's link up. And
just getting your reps in.
Yeah, like
getting, you know, your logic reps in.
Because he just like owns Nazis and stuff, and he has de-radicalized a lot of people. Like there are a lot of Nazis in his community that used to be Nazis on the internet who are no longer. But I realized that he's just more interested in the blood sport of it all. He just loves debating. Yeah. Like, I like politics. I want to make some changes in the world. I want to advocate for political change and actually see it through. Whereas I feel like he just likes to debate.
What's his, I mean, you're doing a lot of like groundwork and stuff, right?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah,
I say a lot.
I mean, the whole like Politicon world is always like, that's always been very strange to me. Like all of the shit where it's like anything that's like made for like politics junkies, right? Where it's just like, yeah, man, like politics is my sports.
Yeah,
like, I just love to hear people debate their ideas, and it's like, why?
Yeah, politics isn't fun. It's like
only
fun if something
so
cool
obsessed
is going on.
With dialogue.
That's what it's like. It's so funny to me. There are those people, and to be fair, I'm occasionally like that. I mean, there's times, you know, during this most recent campaign, being involved with Bernie, where I was like full on freak mode in front of the TV during the debates, like with a hot dog screaming, you know, like
watching presidential debates is different.
Yeah,
I
but
think.
It's weird when people get that way with like Joe Biden, you know, like they're like, so they're like ruining their lives over like the most lukewarm,
Yeah, Biden head.
It's one thing to dedicate your whole life to like try to
Biden
change
pilled.
Something. It's another thing to spend all of your time just being like, yeah, let's kind of like stay the course and like not do much. But, you know,
it's so funny that it's fully reached the point where, you know, like it's crazy. Like, I don't know. I was thinking about how great I felt when Bernie won Nevada and how it like wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're literally at a point where you see a bunch of people on Twitter like, listen, he's also a rapist, but he's a better rapist. I mean, no, he's not better at raping. He's raped less people than Donald.
Well, I've seen people say that it's Russian propaganda.
Say that the
allegations, which is insane.
Right. Yeah, insane.
Just to even say that is offensive.
No, liberals have liberals have experienced complete brain rot at this point, where MSNBC and CNN, if those are the only two places that you're getting your information from and you don't want to apply any sort of critical thinking whatsoever, you are basically not as racist, obviously, but as brain broken as Fox News boomers are. Now, yeah. Like, obviously, Fox News is worse still because there's also a layer of racial agitation. They're, like, basically doing the 14 words every night on their broadcasting from Laura Ingraham all the way to Tucker Carlson. They're, you know, and Fox News also has that sort of consequence. And is all, more instructive on what happens to, in policy than CNN and MSNBC. Like, they actually have more power in changing American politics a little bit. And that was his intended purpose anyway. But having said all that, yes, if you watch MSNBC all the time, like, you're, I mean, your brain is broken as well, just as much as a Fox News boomer's brain is broken.
There's the type of people that are the loudest in, like, the, it's like the Never Trump people, you know, like they're in they're in their own Never Trump or Vote Blue, no matter who people, they're in their own little bubble, and they're going to have a harsh awakening soon. And they're already we're already kind of seeing it. Like, Joe Rogan was trending on Twitter yesterday because he made, like, some offhand comment, like, dude, I would vote for Trump over Biden, switching from Bernie, which is, like, I think there's a lot of people out there like that. But their brains are exploding when they hear this, because they're, like, they're talking about Joe Rogan like he just committed treason or something, you know? Like, they think that people have to go vote. That they have to go vote for Joe Biden, like it's this, like it's their civic duty to do so. And I think they have this assumption that, like, everybody's going to do that because everybody hates Donald Trump as much as them, which maybe they do. Maybe, I mean, a lot of people dislike him. I don't like him. But at the same time, I think they just underestimate people's apathy. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't really participate and, like, got motivated by the Sanders campaign, but otherwise, I don't really give a shit.
People that were not apathetic a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at the heart of what is wrong with neoliberalism and like the Democratic Party in general. That's precisely this mentality that, you know, we are owed, like, we owe them and not the other way around. Like, we have to vote for the Democrat no matter what happens because there's no other alternative. And if you don't vote for the Democrat in this two-party system, that effectively means that, you know, you're committing treason and voting for the Republican. And there's some truth to that. Functionally, you are helping the Republican win in that circumstance. But I think that mentality is really wrong, and part of the reason why we keep getting owned, despite the obvious reality that there are more progressives or more Democratic voters in this country than there are Republicans. Like, there's other issues like voter suppression and things of that nature, but I think apathy is a big part of it. I think the reason why 100 million people, a plurality of people, don't vote as opposed to voting Democrat or Republican is this reality. It's the Electoral College, of course, as well, but this plays a significant role in the Democrats not winning when they should be winning every election all the time. Nonstop.
I would like to get sick of winning, you know? You're going to get sick of winning, folks.
Like, how do you... I don't know how
he
you
was right about that, by the way.
What? He was.
Trump. I am sick of him winning. Like, he's wiggled out of fucking everything. He wasn't wrong about that. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, but again, this is yet another problem within the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is basically the controlled opposition where they don't launch a strong enough counter against Donald Trump. And I believe personally that that is by design, that they don't want to launch a strong enough counter against Donald Trump because Donald Trump is good for fundraising. Donald Trump is good to galvanize the Democratic base. And when you have someone as terrifying as a once in a lifetime terrifying entity like Donald Trump, the stakes are too high to simply vote for these pie in the sky ideas like Medicare for all. And I think they use Donald Trump effectively to fundraise. I think and that's the reason why they don't fight back as aggressively against them either.
Yeah, you were talking about CNN and MSNBC, and it's like, it's in their best interest for Trump to win again.
Yeah.
It's fully in their, you know, they like having a foil. They like have it's they've, you know, Les Moonves has like been on record talking about like, oh, yeah, it's going to be bad for the American people, but it's going to be great for ratings.
Yeah.
And so it's like every fucking like media executive is like, you know, secretly like they've got their fingers crossed, you know?
Yeah.
And they would literally rather have 4 more years of Trump than let Bernie be the nominee.
Oh, for sure. Well, aside from the media there, though, and we can talk about how to manipulate their thirst for profit and ratings, and how Bernie failed to do that. But aside from the media, like, political operatives absolutely never get punished for failure. Look at Hillary Clinton. Look at Hillary Clinton's inner circle. They still have a lot of control in the Democratic Party. In positions of power. Neer Tanden is a perfect example at Center for American Progress. These people are getting owned over and over again by clowns, and they still have six-figure salaries, and they still have comfortable jobs.
It's really the only industry where you could do that, where you, if you could publicly lose extremely badly and it's your fault. Like, if I'm a major league pitcher and I just absolutely whiff the game 7 of the World Series, I'm like hitting players, walking them over and over again.
Yeah.
Like the political equivalent of that would be that I would be either pitching in the next World Series again and do the same thing, or I'm like the announcer and I'm like criticizing people about.
Yeah, or you lose the, you know, you're the game losing pitcher in the World Series, and then 4 years later you put out a Hulu documentary
about why it wasn't your fault.
You put out a fucking documentary about like, it was whatever, you know.
But that is also by design.
They'll never learn. They will never learn.
That's also by design. So like, there's a this is a Noam Chomsky bit, but the accountability that athletes have is far more significant than the accountability that political figures have, and that is by design. Politics is complicated. It's not something that is as interesting, and there are far more interesting things that you can pay attention to, like sports or esports.
Sports.
Or smoke shows. Or smoke shows of the week, and that's on purpose.
Which, by the way, we will, you know, guys, I know that we're getting serious here, but we will eventually talk about smoke shows.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about smoke shows eventually, because, you know, I see you publicly liking Dua Lipa photos, liking Emrata photos, and I respect it because...
Don't pivot just yet.
I'm not going to pivot just yet, but I do want to just tease it right now. If you're one of these people, you're like, oh, they're getting so serious. Oh, but still so political now. It's like, don't worry. We'll get to the horny stuff in a minute.
Yeah, no, I'm terminally horny. So
eat your vegetables before you have your fucking cake.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, anytime now, it's my confusion and apathy to the point where, like,
we were talking about Democrats being addicted to
losing. Love losing, folks, and
because they see no repercussions. See no repercussions of losing, and the only person that would genuinely hurt their bottom line, if we're talking about political operatives, the only person that would actually force them to at least change their worldview, if they want to continue to get hired in DC in the wonk world, and greatly undermine their influence that they've cultivated despite a series of failures, is Bernie Sanders. Not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not enough for people to change their minds about our economic organization or our political process. It wasn't. It demonstrably wasn't. People were like, holy fuck, we need Joe Biden. Or at least boomers were. So we saw that. But if Bernie Sanders were to become president, or were to become a significant leader in the Democratic Party beyond what he has now, beyond the influence he has now, then a lot of those consultants, a lot of those think tank operatives, a lot of those lobbyists, they would be out of a job, or they would have to change their messaging and their worldview.
The weird thing is, like, when I hear the term Democratic base now, I don't even know what that means anymore. And I don't know, the world's changed so much and the party has been changing so much that I don't know, like, fundamentally at its core, what it means to be a Democrat anymore at this point, at this very moment. I just don't exactly know. The world has evolved, especially amid this pandemic. It's kind of baffling. And, I've even, like, tried to think, like, okay, like, what would be going on right now if Donald Trump lost. And I actually, like, I'm not entirely sure. I think it would be pretty much the same thing with the pandemic situation. Maybe
with the relief efforts, certainly. I think
it would be like, I mean, means tested more, probably. Ironically,
yeah,
the Hillary Clinton bucks would be like some weird series of online forms you have to fill out, you know.
Oh, certainly. So we have an example of this that played out in 2008. Now, it was a fraction of what happened in this coronavirus relief package, but it was nearly identical. In the early Obama administration, the corporate bailouts that were offered to banks and the unconditional elements of those corporate bailouts were nearly identical to what Donald Trump did, like almost identical. There was more individual relief in this coronavirus relief package, but that was because the sheer magnitude of this problem is much larger. It's just a much bigger issue. So obviously, like, people needed immediate relief, but even then it was crumbs, and even then the Democrats were the ones who were advocating for means testing. Nancy Pelosi was the one who was working with Steve Mnuchin behind closed doors to change like a technical part of the original House bill, where she has majority, to make sure that only small businesses, so that means like businesses over 500 employees would not... businesses under 500 employees or small businesses, businesses over 500 employees would not be a part of the unemployment insurance, or sorry, not unemployment insurance, sorry, unpaid sick leave or paid sick leave. Fuck, it's too early here. My brain is.
You lost me there.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it though? Okay, I think I
Nancy
know what you're
Pelosi
talking about though.
Nancy Pelosi advocated for means testing on the universal income, right? Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer openly advocated for means testing on universal income. Every American was supposed to get $1,200. They advocated against that alongside the Republicans and made sure that it was capped at $99,000, right? If you make 99 grand a year, or if you made 99 grand in 2018, or if you filed your taxes in 2019, you don't get a single dime. You only get money.
No matter what you're making now.
Yeah, no matter what you're making now. So that's terrible. It's a terrible thing to fucking advocate for. It's not politically sound. It's not sound from a policy point of view because it pushes back the date that people can receive funds. It excludes hundreds of thousands of people that desperately still will need this money, right? And it's a bad idea overall, but Democrats still advocated for it. Another thing that Democrats advocated for, like I was trying to explain poorly earlier, is paid sick leave that we don't have in this country for some weird reason, that European nations take advantage of and have. But paid sick leave was taken out for large corporations in the final like technical process of the House bill,
which is so backwards. That's like should be the main people who are forced to give paid sick leave.
So yeah, basically like 60-80% of the American workforce are employed by these companies that weren't being forced to make sure that they had paid sick leave during fucking coronavirus. Not like, you know, not all the time, just during a pandemic that requires you to be able to take off work.
Oh, it's fucked.
So that you don't further spread it.
Let's pivot off this. I want to hear about your VR experiences. What have you been doing on the stream with this VR shit?
Okay, let's get to the horny stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brandon might have logged off. Oh, he's still here?
Yeah. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, so I got a virtual reality headset recently. And obviously because of the quarantine and stuff, I'm feeling some type of way. And I started doing virtual reality streams. I just put the headset on and I go into a VR world. It's like Second Life.
Yeah.
But if Second Life was just for fucking and sex and anime titties and, you know,
wait, so you're doing this on the same Twitch stream as the like in the course of one Twitch stream, you'll be talking about, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she wants means testing, you know, this and this, And then you're going to be like, all right, time to fucking anime, bitch. I'm VR.
Literally. Not figuratively.
That's cool.
That's exactly what I do. So like the first 5 hours of my stream are dedicated to like news coverage. And even in that news coverage, it's not like super serious all the time. Like we do memes and stuff. We fuck around. But after that, I will pivot to some YouTube content, like maybe react to some like funny YouTube videos or whatever. And that is my that's my segue into gaming. There's a gaming proportion where I'll either play like Call of Duty and maybe even hire e-girls. There's a website called egirls.gg. We can talk about that as well.
Oh, please.
To play Call of Duty with me. And then after that, I go into the VR world and stream with a bunch of other streamers in the VR world where there are girls with like full body suits on that give you virtual reality lap dances. They have stripper poles in their houses and they like literally do like a strip or not strip, but they do like stripper dances basically in VR nightclubs. So that's what's been taking up my time.
So is it animated? Like,
yeah,
the strippers are animated.
CG. I mean, it's 3D. Yeah.
How good a quality are we talking?
I mean, you can watch it on my YouTube. Like, not to plug anything, but I have my first experience. Yeah.
By the way, you guys know about like the like real strip clubs that are staying open but like adapting, right?
Yeah, Instagram Live, right? I've seen.
Well, there's the Instagram Live guys. They're doing that stuff, but there's also like. Some strip clubs are doing like drive-through shows.
No way.
Yeah, like quarantine. And there's like this one strip club that's like, you know, quarantine with like one of our girls for 10 minutes, you know?
Oh, and, wow.
So do yeah, they just rub up a, on your one car? Spot.
Yeah, I guess like it's, I don't know. It's there. Oh, there's one. They're doing like hand sanitizer wrestling.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Which is feels like
it's a waste.
Feels like a real waste.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you know, there's a real shortage happening.
Seems painful too.
I would I'd bring a Ziploc.
Yeah,
and
scoop
just sort
it
of
up.
Run up, scoop it up.
Wait,
dip.
Tell me about the e-girls, Hassan. How long does it take to hire an e-girl, by the way, to like get, come on, like. From
it's
the
it's pretty quick.
Like can we get one in here?
I mean, maybe we could.
How long does it take?
We don't have a game to play though. Like,
do they have to? They can't just chit chat.
If you go to egirl.gg, there's like all these games. You can hire one for VR chat as well. Okay, there's guys and girls. I hire them for Call of Duty, usually for the memes, obviously, but. Yeah, you just hire them. They're usually per game. Like they get paid on a per game basis and they only charge like $5 on the higher end. Like
really?
It's like $1 per game. Yeah, it's pretty cheap. And every time I hire them, I keep telling them like, you should charge more. This is dumb. Like you should probably charge more for your games.
Yeah.
And you know, they just, you know, you play video games with them and you
I'm looking at
shit.
It right now just like, you know, they're kind of cute girls.
Yeah,
they're just like gamer girls. They're like, you know, the type dude. The funniest is like some of these guys, just like random guys.
Yeah. Oh no, you can hire guys as well. Yeah,
I'm looking at, there's like kind of like a neckbeard well. Guy using like weird like knockoff Bose earbuds in his profile picture looking away. And
yeah,
that's, I mean, who's hiring these gentlemen? The e-girls is funny.
Know.
You get it. Like, it's for guy lonely guys. They want to play with a cute girl.
I think it's the same for... It's not girls that are hiring the guys. I assume it's just the same concept, though. It's just like people want... Especially with, like, VR games and stuff. If you don't have any friends, they probably just want, like, to talk to someone new.
Oh, I'm looking through right now. This is an absolute steal.
Yeah, no. It is definitely super cheap. Like... I don't know why it's so cheap, but I usually just like fire off 8 games and then like end up playing 2 with them or 3 just to like fuck around, but because it's so fucking cheap.
Oh, this girl is charging $400 though.
Who's
Most
that?
Of these girls are, who's uncreative girl?
I don't know where
she's,
you're at
she's,
though.
I'm on egirl.gg.
Dude, this guy rules. Elite. I know we're just kind of like looking
trying to get $400 for, and she's, I mean, you know,
$400 a game.
It might be fake. It might be fake. It might be fake. So there's like my, I have a friend who's a streamer. His name is Greek God X, and like they put up like him as a female on there for $999. You know, like there's just people are messing around.
Yeah. Okay, so you hire these people. I don't see a way to get them on here. I was thinking it'd be funny to hire some of them and get them on the pod, but they it seems like you have to
I don't think we need that.
I thought it'd be funny. Just get like a couple gamer girls in the mix or the guys or get some fellas in here.
They probably have an easier time than Brandon on Discord. Like
getting it set up. Yeah, they'll definitely log in faster. I know. It would just
that
be
was
jump.
Just there was just some AirPods Pro issues. Which, by the way, quick aside, this is like my second day with AirPods Pro. This shit sucks. The noise canceling is good.
No,
it falls out of your ears.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, these AirPods I was gonna say if you have a problem AirPods with Pro? Like the noise cancellation and stuff, it's because you can change it to like Aura.
I like the noise cancellation.
It's too aggressive, I think. It scares the shit out of me. If like a big thing happens behind you, you only feel the vibration, but you don't actually hear it. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a little terrifying.
I don't know. I don't know. My doctor told me I have tight ear canals.
Is that a brag?
What? Are you flexing right now?
Yeah. He said I have tight ear canals. He said I've got a real... Yeah, I've got tight, wet ear canals.
Have you ever had weird experiences with the e-girls you hire, Hassan? Are they all nice?
They're all pretty nice.
Awkward?
No, not at all, actually. They're just... I think they're more used to... They're just used to like playing with really...
Like lonely guys.
Weird dudes, I guess, or like lonely guys. So they have an air of confidence when we first start talking.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, it gets a little awkward because I tell them like I'm streaming. If they don't check where I'm streaming, it's fine. But once they check and they see the numbers, they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Then it gets a little weird. But, you know, one of them was real thirsty. Like, I had one e-girl who was, like, really just, like, you know, trying to milk it as best as she could. Like, she got, like, 250 subs in, like, 10, in like, a matter of 10 minutes, I think. Like, it was crazy.
That's fun. Just trying to, like, get people to come onto her channel.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't, but then they found her because, you know, I have an audience of coomers.
Yeah,
so
freaks.
So they found her.
Oh, explain to the listeners at home what a coomer is.
Are you asking?
I said explain to them.
Like,
I know what a coomer is.
It's an internet meme, coomer. It's based off of, like, Wojak, that like, white face that you see on the internet.
Yes.
It's like a
the modern rage face almost.
Yeah. He's just a feels guy, but he has a bald head and, you know, his eyes are bloodshot. He's a big scraggly beard.
He kind of looks like a podcast host. Yeah, he loves jerking off.
He looks exactly like a podcast host, and he's a coomer. He likes to coom. Jerk off and coom all the time. And it's just making fun of people, like extremely horny people on the internet who do dumb things. You know, they just like Nico Lil fans are cool.
Yes,
which includes myself and Brandon.
I've turned on her.
Brandon likes really like mainstream babes.
I'm done.
When I saw him follow her like late, I was like, bro, come on.
I unfollowed. I'm done.
Get some taste, bro.
I unfollowed, but I do want to talk about you. You did lead you led us into this. Jack has been critical of me publicly liking Amrata photos, Dua Lipa photos, etc. Right? He's like, why are you doing this? These photos, they have a million likes. Why are you adding another, you know, why are you adding another like to this ocean of likes, right?
I'm a lizard.
But
I have a lizard
like,
brain.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, why not? You know, I want to show support. If you don't like it, go vote. You know?
Yeah.
And
vote with your dollar.
Yeah. So, you know, Hassan, I see you doing this all the time. You know, oftentimes I'll wake up, I'll open Instagram, like after I brush my teeth, first thing I see is a Dua Lipa photo. it's 9 a.m. I'm going to like it. Okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be like, hey, Dua, keep it up. You look good. Whatever. And, you know, oftentimes I'll see liked by Hassan Piker and 1 million others.
Yeah.
And so I've got an ally here. Maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Explain to Jack why it's important to show support.
Okay, well, I don't think that there is a larger moral reason for why why I like Dua Lipa photos. It's just that I'm lizard brained and I see Dua Lipa and I think, ooh, she's hot. She looks good there. I like this photo and I like it. I don't even think twice about
it. Exactly.
Like it's just I see something I like and then I hit that like button.
So the exact same thing as Brandon.
Yeah,
I think
there's a moral reason.
No, there's no moral. I criticize him for being weak-willed.
I think transparency is important.
I'm super weak-willed.
I think transparency is very important.
I'm not doing what Brandon's doing. Like Brandon is like.
I think it's a moral imperative to if you see a Dua Lipa photo, you're getting a little horny. You gotta like it.
Yeah, you gotta let her know. You gotta let her know. And more importantly, the rest of the world know that you got horny there, right then and there. You liked it.
Well, Brandon, you've gotten an easy out because it's become like a bit on the podcast now. So now when you do it, now when you reply to Emrata on Twitter saying please follow me back, it's like a joke, you know. Whereas you might have been doing that before, not as a joke.
So. I was never doing it.
Absolutely,
I was never
the easy
just
way
like,
out.
For, you know,
it's a bit. It's just a bit.
Yeah, no, Jack. It's Brandon, a,
following
Jack,
her
it's
around,
a bit.
Staring into her windows while she quarantines.
I just replied to that AOC video that she posted.
Oh yeah, I saw
like,
you replied to that.
Can I get a follow back, please?
Yep.
Yeah, when she that like fake TikTok she made. I'm watching it right now. She looks good.
Brandon's just plugging hot girls on the main feed of the pod.
Have you seen this?
I've seen her TikToks.
Have you guys?
Yeah,
wait,
Hassan,
AOC
have you
did
seen
a TikTok?
This? AOC did a. She did some video where it was like somebody being like, "Can you make a TikTok?" And she made. It's like an Instagram story that she did that she posted on her Twitter. You know,
Brand just describing videos he likes.
Are you not? I know we're
this
going
is great
very,
content.
You know, internet.
Okay,
heavy.
Yeah,
Brandon, can you describe some more videos you saw
this
on
is,
Instagram? The
yeah, okay,
more?
Look, yeah. Listen. You guys just spent 40 minutes talking about the computer. Okay?
We have tens
let
of
me
thousands
talk about,
of people.
Let me
listening.
Talk about the computer. Okay, let me talk. Let me also talk about the computer.
Yeah.
AOC posted a video where she looks cute. I said, "Can I get a follow back?" You know.
So what happened after that?
This is well. She didn't follow back, and you know maybe
one day, King.
Maybe one day.
She's, where are you going with this?
Yeah,
you see that,
I don't know. I'm not
you
very
see that
interested.
New, you see that new Jessica Alba TikTok?
I was just gonna say that. Yes, dude.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, Brandon. We are.
Yeah. See,
we
Jack,
are. In
we're getting
sync,
somewhere
brother.
Here. Fucking
You're
let me
somewhere.
Cook.
Yeah.
Let
okay,
me cook.
The Jessica
dude.
Alba TikTok of her dancing like a sorority girl.
Yes.
Oh my fucking God. Why, how old is she? Let's 38.
She's 38.
Jesus fucking
she looks so good.
Christ.
It's crazy.
She's 38 years old.
She's not that old, actually. That was like, I wasn't
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but
how
she's
old
like
she
a
was.
Mother of
she's had
two
multiple
or
kids,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Bro.
She looks so
years
good.
Old, she is incredible.
Dude, I watched I that mean, shit like 50 times yesterday.
Yeah. Wow. I saw that. I'm still thinking about it. I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to bring it up too as well. If you
Yeah,
hadn't.
Thank you. See Jack?
Yeah.
See?
That one, the Jessica
God
Alba
damn.
TikTok
Jack
is
fucking
insane.
Patience is a virtue, Jack. Okay?
Yeah.
We
no,
were
it, it's
Oh
really
yeah.
Good.
I'm waiting. I had I known I would have gotten this reward, you know?
Yeah.
I would have been more patient.
Yeah, me and Hassan are connecting, okay?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, that video rocks.
Yeah, AOC, I don't know. I feel like
Are you not on board?
No, I mean, I love AOC. She's great, but I kind of feel like she's had her own Nico Lull situation going on where like she's
Oh,
too
where
hype.
She's like kind of leaned in.
She's too hype and she's leaning in a little bit. She's doing the
she's
baby
leaning
stuff.
Into the celebrity.
Her version of it obviously, and I don't mean this from when I say this, I'm not talking about like, you know, she's trying to be hot on the timeline or anything. That's not what I'm referencing. I'm just saying, like, in her own lane, she's doing the Nico Lull thing. Okay? So don't cancel me, please. Where I feel like she's leaning in a little too much to the mainstream media hype, and you know.
Yeah.
That video, when I saw that, it came across as inauthentic.
That'll be good for the, like, maybe, you know, perhaps 2024 campaign. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of,
I mean,
making the media like her in a way that, like, you know, like Bernie never pandered, which is what makes him great. But, like, also, like, what, you know, ultimately hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that, like, that sort of, if she comes across as inauthentic in any way, that works really well for the media. That works really well for the DC wonk class. And it works well for a certain branch of academics, professional managerial class members. And it's good for the primary, especially if the media keeps you afloat. But I think it's not great for the general.
Like, Brandon's just trying to rationalize this in a political way so that he could keep seeing the videos. He's like, listen, I think tactically it's good for her political career. She has her eyes on the prize. And as long as she keeps posting sexy videos, I think that's good, actually, for her political advancement and the left as a whole. So that's my take, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, you know, you're right. This is just
follow me back.
I think it would be really good for the left for her to follow me back.
Yeah, so she could get in on the latest and greatest memes, or maybe, like, you know, she would know ahead of time what the sheriff of dick sucking is.
It's the sheriff of sucking you off.
Sucking you off. Sorry.
Yeah, this you know, don't come on my podcast doing this fucking misnomer shit, Hassan.
I'm sorry.
Listen,
I'm
buddy.
Sorry, I fucked up.
Yeah, no, dude. I'm watching that Jessica Alba TikTok again.
we're gonna lose.
This is what's great about working from home, is I can just kind of like half listen and be like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this Jessica Alba TikTok again.
Yeah, it's very different than how you behave when you're here in person.
You know,
that's something you never do while we're in the same room with guests recording.
Famously, podcasting is a medium where you can't slack.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I always think of when I think of podcasting. I think of hardworking individuals.
100%. Yeah. Wait,
yeah,
I want to hear
2 hours every week.
Oh, I know something I want to circle back to. So you famously debated Charlie Kirk, one of our favorite boys.
I
don't really want to like revisit the actual debate, but did you get some FaceTime with Charlie? I want to hear a little bit of behind the scenes of that.
Well, so he hit me up like in the DMs after the first time we debated, and this was a while ago. This was, what was it, like 2016 or something? I don't know, maybe 2017. To like hang out and get a beer. He invited me to get beers with Cernovich.
Oh wow.
Whoa.
And at that time I was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Like I just refused to acknowledge that he said that. And didn't really respond to him because I was terrified of Mike Cernovich for good reason. I still am. So, you know, I didn't do that. But behind the scenes, he's just like, I mean, these guys are all grifters, man. They're not legit. Like, they're not, they don't actually believe the things that they're saying. They believe some of it, maybe.
What was he like? Like, give me a vibe report. Like, what's, you know, talking?
I mean, kind of the same. Just very polite and exactly the same as he is on camera or on the debate stage. But you can tell, like, it's not real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it would be like with a couple beers in him. Or I don't even know if he drinks or not. But the experiences that I had with him behind closed doors is, like, very friendly to me.
Mm-hmm.
I always keep him at arm's length. Like, I'm not very, I don't know. I'm not like that. I can't, like, fake friendship with people that I have genuine political disagreements with, that I believe their worldview leads to a lot of death and devastation.
Yeah, like ultimately their existence damages the world, or at least culture at large, you know.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And like there an earlier video of Charlie Kirk came out this year, actually, of him on Fox News debating an actual Trump supporter before Donald Trump took control of the Republican Party. And he was vehemently anti-Trump at that time.
Huh?
Yeah. And he flipped because that's what these guys do. And that's what I wished would happen with Bernie Sanders, too, that like a lot of these Democratic pundits, like these liberal pundits, would flip to advocate for social democracy. And I think it could happen.
Yeah, still. I mean, he's still in the race.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to meet any other... ask your thing.
I wanted to talk about Bernie for a second, but I'll get to that.
I was just going to ask if you've met any other like wild political rascals similar to Kirk. Have you met like Tommy Loren?
Well, I mean, I've met them all. I've debated a lot of them.
Who else?
I debated Ann Coulter. I debated Larry Elder. Who else did I debate? I debated a lot of
them. Who is the wildest like behind the scenes version?
Well, Ann Coulter refused to talk to me and refused to acknowledge me.
Really?
Yeah. Like I tried to make a conversation with her where I was like, oh, you're chewing nicotine gum. Like I chew nicotine gum too. What flavor of nicotine gum are you chewing? And she did not like, she cold shouldered the fuck out of me. Just she like did not talk to me.
Iced you out.
Even in our debate, she literally would not look in my direction. Like she did not look.
Do you think Bill Maher smashed?
Maybe. Bill Maher is a very horny boy, so I can
he's
see
famously
that.
Very horny. He only follows bikini girls on Instagram, which I think is a great part of the Bill Maher canon. Is that this is like a very funny thing to have found out about Bill Maher? Is that like you look at his Instagram and he only follows like bikini girls?
Are you ready for this?
Which
are you
is
ready
so
for
funny?
Yes. I'm about to give you something else for the fucking for the Bill Maher canon. Please. I used to hook up with this girl who went to a sanctum party. Do you guys know what sanctum is?
Oh, no.
Elaborate for the audience at home.
Okay. So sanctum, spelled as S-N-C-T-M, is an American nightclub and sex club based in Beverly Hills, California, founded by Damon Lawner. It is the world's most exclusive sex club. So it's the Eyes Wide Shut sex orgy club that is like the worst kept secret in Hollywood. I don't even know if they're still in business. Obviously not now during the coronavirus, but I don't even know if they've been in business for a while. I know a girl that I used to hook up with a girl that went to one of those things and saw Bill Maher there.
Oh hell boy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's not super surprising. He seems
not at all.
People thought that for a while he might be gay. It was like kind of like a vague, like, what's his deal? Because he's unmarried. I don't know. Has he ever been like publicly dating somebody?
Yeah. He used to date a coworker, an ex-coworker of mine. What's her face? God damn it. I can't remember her name now.
Dude, by the way, I looked like you were joking about the Bill Maher only following bikini babes. I'm looking. He
only follows seven people on Instagram, and it's literally Alexis Ren.
Six of them are bikini babes. One of them is a weed dispensary.
Yeah, he follows one weed dispensary and six bikini girls.
I don't think he uses Instagram, man. I think that's just like...
Bro, that has to be him.
That's got to be Bill, bro.
Maher team is like being like, listen, we need to curate this account perfectly. We're going to follow six specific.
No, no, it's him, but he doesn't like... He's not like a regular user of Instagram is what I'm saying. He probably horny followed a couple girls and then was like, yeah, whatever.
It is so funny, though. Because it's not like it's his personal account, but it's like more so the show account. It's just only following these six bikini babes.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
It's flagrant. He follows Emrata.
Fucking Bill Maher is. Yeah, he follows Alexis Ren.
It would be, dude. It's Emrata, one thing
and,
if
like
he,
nobody
if,
else.
One thing if they are in the mix and he was following like Obama or something. There's literally nobody else. He only.
Yeah, but you know he's
them.
Not posting this stuff. Like, I mean, you think Bill Maher is posting like the Trump face photo and going, yes, I was rooting for the Joker to win. Big week for sociopaths in face paint. Hashtag Oscars.
Honestly, yes.
I think. Oh, really? Yeah. His. Oh, his fucking. His, oh, I do want to talk about Bill Maher's Twitter.
Oh, please.
Because this is. This was. Do you remember this tweet? This is perhaps. This is like maybe my favorite Bill Maher post of all time. He goes, oh, so what? Trump went to the UN and discussed Nambia, a country that doesn't exist. How many know Nambia's capital is Covfefe?
Oh,
yes.
Got him, dude.
Yes.
Dumpster.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Dude, he's got fucking shooters out there. I'm surprised Trump recovered from that.
That's awesome.
God damn. Yeah, I look at stuff like that, and I really understand why there's so much disdain for the liberal elite and how easy it is for these like vulturous psychopaths on the right to portray the left as out of touch.
It is. You know? Yeah. I do have moments where I like can put myself in their shoes, and I kind of get it. Like I talked to the trapped guy on the last episode, and I felt, you know, his views are really weird. I was kind of left wondering, like, man, like, I guess you're conservative, but you don't. I don't know how you got here. Like some of the shit you believe, I think you're kind of on the other side and don't realize it. I'm like, but like more than anything, I don't know what you're getting out of believing this stuff. You know, like I don't see, there's like nothing really to gain. It's one thing for like a billionaire to want low taxes. It's like, oh yeah, you would gain money. It's confusing. Like why people have strong beliefs just like for no reason. Yeah. But then I saw, but after it, I saw his replies of like, the kind of like the new metal liberals that he's arguing with, and they're like crazy. Like these people are like Facebook, no offense, but like Facebook Democrats, you know, where they're like, he's like only seeing the Russiagate people where they like are conspiracy theorists basically when they're arguing about Trump. So I'm like, oh, I guess like there's a possibility that he's like gone nuts arguing with like the weirdest Democrats of all time, you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember why I brought this probably. Up, but...
well, no, it's just, it's deeply embedded in the American psyche. Like, I don't want to get too academic, but it is literally by design where these people have this false sense that they are going to become billionaires one day.
Bro, I'm you just have to grind.
Yeah, I'm reminded of this Steinbeck quote that, I'm going to paraphrase it, but he said socialism will never work in the United States. Because the workers do not see themselves as an exploited proletariat, but temporarily embarrassed millionaires. And that is what it is.
Exactly.
A lot of these people see themselves as like temporarily embarrassed millionaires that are just waiting. You know, they're going to be on their grind soon.
Any day
and
now,
it's
dude.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, I found another great Bill Maher tweet.
Hit me.
Okay.
He said, this is recent. This is this month. He goes, rough day for Harvey Weinstein, but I think there are still some more Oscars and Tonys in his future, and Marvin's, and Mike's, and Tom's, and Elroy's, and Fred's, .. He's going to get fucked
I get
in the
it.
Ass.
Yeah,
he's
going to
get raped,
in
the ass by men.
Yeah, male prison rape.
It's was he always dad humor, or is he just getting older?
No, he's always been like this.
Yeah, that's like
you,
straight
you
up
watch,
like something
like, politically
my dad would say
incorrect
me.
In the 90s, and it's like, it's not, Bill Maher's never been good. there was no fall from grace where it was like, oh man, Bill Maher used to be the fucking man.
I mean, he is the original 9/11 guy. Like that is one area where he definitely was very edgy.
What was he edgy about?
Yeah. Commentary. Oh, he, do you not remember what Bill Maher said about 9/11?
No,
okay, well, I'll
remember.
Tell you. Well, let me tell you, as I am the other 9/11 guy that you've had on your show now.
The 9/11 guy. That's the episode name.
Yeah, I'm the 9/11 guy. Yeah, so he lost the show, politically incorrect, over a controversy after he said he had a Barbara Olson, a frequent guest that was traveling on the taping. And wait, hold on. Sorry. In the aftermath of the attacks, he... U.S. President George W. Bush said that the terrorists were responsible, were cowards, right? About the 9/11 terrorists. And in September 17th, 2001, episode, on that episode, Mars gets Dinesh D'Souza disputed Bush's label, saying the terrorists were warriors. Mar agreed and replied, "We have been the cowards, lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away. That's cowardly. Staying in the airplane when it hits the building, say what you want about it, it's not cowardly."
Dan, wait, did I hear Dinesh D'Souza's, Dinesh D'Souza's name in the mix right there?
Yes. Dinesh D'Souza was there as well. These freaks have been around one another for a very long time.
Was Dinesh arguing that the terrorists weren't cowards either?
Yeah, Dinesh D'Souza was also another guy who, like that other fucking famous reverend, said that 9/11 happened because, like, you know, we deserve it with our liberalism and homosexuality.
Oh yeah,
I don't think he said that exactly.
There's all sorts of reasons. Yeah.
So what's funny is, like, when I made remarks about 9/11, I was referencing American foreign policy and how it directly relates back to, you know, destabilizing the region, arming the same people that ended up, you know, rising up against the United States and, like, did it, and we're still arming them and we're still aligned with Saudi Arabia because of our geopolitical interests in the region, blah, blah, blah. You know, boring stuff. When they agree with 9/11 stuff, they literally agree with the terrorists. They're like, no, like, when Osama says, like, America deserved it, you know, he was right because America's too gay. Like,
yeah, it's because the gay guys and Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, the terrorists did that because Britney Spears was wearing a bikini in her music video.
Which is, of course, the Paul Joseph Watson rhetoric where he, like, routinely will post, you know, girls doing
Bill Maher would love that.
Oh yeah, no, he
loves bikini girls.
No, he loves bikini girls.
Bill Maher's take is that the terrorists were trying to get to the bikini girls and accidentally
crashed.
Maher's
take was Bill Maher isn't incorrect in what he's saying. I was talking about Dinesh D'Souza.
No, I know, yeah.
And everyone else that, like, oftentimes agrees with, like, unironically agrees with the terrorists on why America got 9/11, which is insane.
So what'd you get in trouble? You got in trouble too?
Well, I said, do you not remember what happened with the Dan Crenshaw saga?
Oh, was that? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was.
Did you actually get in trouble?
I mean, I still get death threats to this day
from, like, conservatives.
Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, like, I'll read you one that I got yesterday if you would like.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Where is it? Hold on.
This one's from B. Wardell, 1991.
Yeah. B Wardell.
Stop
says,
liking Emrata's pics, you fucking bitch. I'll kill you. She's mine.
Okay, where is it?
Oh, you're finding it.
Go back to your shitty country, you worthless trash. Fucking kill yourself. Wish you'd say America deserved 9/11 to someone's face so they could knock your teeth out. Then you'll look like the rest of your fucking poor ass jihad people.
Well, damn.
His description reads, 21, smiley face. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, in quotes. Not exactly sure where the quote is from, but he has 100, like the 100 emote next to it, emoji, and then fire emojis.
That's the funniest type of people like that, where it's like they're mad, but they're several months late. So you know they're seeing, like, some weird repost about it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I do remember that era. With Dan Crenshaw. That guy sucks, though.
He is terrible.
Yeah.
He is just transparently awful and has voted to arm Saudi Arabia multiple times, and those weapons have literally gotten into the hands of Al-Qaeda, which is, of course, the dark irony of this entire situation and how much how angry people were at me for a duration and still are to this day. Whereas, like, we are literally giving guns to Al-Qaeda so they can do genocide in Yemen right now. And Dan Crenshaw is voting for it. Like, he is on board with it. So is Donald Trump. And so are liberals, too. Like, some liberals.
We love giving arms to militias.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite national pastimes.
Yeah.
That is funny. I guess we were talking about Bill Maher before. That he lost his show because of that.
Yeah,
it's such a funny, like, Bill Maher style take where it's like he's, like, getting really bold and edgy over something, but it's, like, sort of pointless. Like, it doesn't really matter whether the terrorists were cowards or not, you know? It doesn't matter, like, their vibe. It doesn't
really,
like,
I care about
teach
the first part
anything.
About that. No, I care about the first part of that statement, which is we have been cowards lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000
sure.
miles away.
No, yeah. I mean, that's that is real. Yeah,
that's real. That's accurate. That's accurate analysis of American foreign policy, and it goes directly against like the jingoistic mentality that America has, the American exceptionalist mentality that America has, and that is a truly brave take. Chris yeah. Hayes had a similar take to that a while back, like in the 9/11 era, where he said, I don't know if I can call every veteran a hero immediately. He got punished for it too. Mm-hmm. And like anyone who ever goes against the grain on this this sacred cow of American exceptionalism and American imperialism either gets blacklisted completely, like Noam Chomsky or Norman Finkelstein, like or any number of academics like Chris Hedges. Or they are, they're neutered effectively. They're silenced. Yeah. They get temporarily pushed aside.
He fully got more shit for that than he did
saying
the N-word.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's wild. Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, I was bringing kinda, that up yeah. just to pivot to that section.
Yeah, I mean,
because like it is the things he gets in trouble for. It's kind of like they're all sort of like, why are you even like really talking about that, man? Like, you know, like it's like because he's so soft on other things where he should like, you know, put his foot down and, you know, have principles over certain issues. And then he like, you know, he kind of goes like all in on some things. We're like, why? What? You want to say the N-word? Like, why?
Yeah, he's just it's boomer humor. Like, yeah. He's edgy on that sort of stuff. But like all of his jokes basically are like Orange Man Covfefe based, you know what I mean? Like it's not funny. And when he does go edgy, it's like haha, prison rape.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah, it's just it's weird, man. That's also one of those things where like you know, you can make a joke like that and make an edgy joke like that and still not even be remotely funny. Because I do see the value in edgy humor. I think edgy humor can be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But not when Bill Maher's doing it. You know.
Well, it's fake edge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Except for the 9/11 stuff. So
the 9/11 stuff is, you know, it's just it's a salient point.
Yeah. If we want to go back to the N-word controversy, or if we want to segue
Bro,
into something else
go
from there,
back into.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this much: one of the big reasons why I had a falling out with the guy that you were mentioning on, or in the earlier part of the episode, Destiny, was
yeah,
literally because he said that he says the N-word all the time.
What?
In private, and like. He's a big debate lord, so like he had to debate that, and there was a falling out between like him and his friend who is black on a show, and he was like, "What the fuck? Like, don't say that. Like, apologize." And the cultivation of that, the final chapter of that saga, the N-word controversy, led to him like typing out what is known as the N-word manifesto on Reddit.
Whoa.
Where every single person that had dared tell him like you're wrong about your take here got their entire like personal histories exposed. I guess he like did a deep dive on everyone, including like a black activist and college professor. You know, he like pulled some really really fucked up details of their past and said that they were all wrong and that he was right. And he broadcasted that manifesto to 20,000 people on Twitch. And that was when I was like, yeah, this is, I'm never, you know, I normally don't even talk about him. I just wanted to bring that up because it's a very funny, very like online gamer thing.
Yeah. How could I find that if I wanted to search for it?
I don't know. It's on his subreddit.
Somewhere. I'll send it to me later.
You'll find
That's
it.
That's so yeah. funny. Was he like, he was like digging up dirt on them basically?
Yeah.
He like, did, like, oh, so Trump you actually can't tell like, me I can't say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did the Trump thing of like, oh, you think I'm wrong? Well, here's what you've done. He like edited
you cheated
out
on your wife.
Yeah. He edited out something of mine to say like I had a different take on it when I didn't. But, you know, I got off light. I assume it's not because
oh so you were in it
oh yeah no because I was one of the people who was like dude what the fuck are you doing? Like, if you're going to say it, just lie about saying that you say
it publicly.
Yeah,
that's the funniest thing. It's like, why are you even telling people that? Be like, I'm doing my dishes and I just say it. I say it to myself all the time.
My point was, if you're going
to
say it, at least lie about saying it publicly.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just avoid it entirely. Like, don't have that conversation because you're ruining all the work that you might have done with like de-radicalizing people and then like turning around and being like, I say the N-word all the time. Anyway.
That's so weird. Why are you doing that in the first place? Why are you telling people that you do that? That's
it's
so
because, like
he
it's
like,
the
can't
thrill
not
of the debate.
By the way, everybody at home, make sure to clip that audio of Hassan.
Oh Jesus Christ! I mean, whatever, dude. I'm live on Twitch. I'm live on Twitch 12 hours a day, dude. If you want to find things out of context, like there are treasure troves.
Yeah, Hassan. It's just the clip where he's like, "I say the N word all the time."
There's much.
Yeah,
worse.
Also clip. Yeah, clip that of Jack too.
Yeah.
Make sure
there is much worse stuff out there that that has been clipped out of context that I've said on my stream. Mm. So, yeah, I don't think that's gonna get me anymore. Who knows? But yeah.
All right, boys. Well, Hassan, on that note, I'd say we could probably wrap this episode up before we get in any more trouble. But, dude, it was great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. This was fun.
And we would love to come on your stream if you ever want us.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Happy to come on and talk about all the bad words I say in my private life, you know?
All right, good.
Just get myself canceled.
Yeah, you can get your gaming credentials,
or we could hit the VR club once I get a headset.
That's kind of a rite of passage.
Yeah,
right.
You got to get a VR lap dance from having.
You got to have a heated gamer moment.
Yeah, heated gaming moment to really blow up on Twitch.
That's how you get verified on Twitch.
That's how. Yeah. You have to say a slur.
You have to say it.
Yeah.
You have to say it before they verify you on Twitch.
You can sometimes, you could get loopholes where you use a different slur. You could use a Polish slur sometime if the Twitch mods are, you know, feeling generous. Yeah.
I engage in a lot of anti-Italian freidophobia to make up for my lack of racism against other races. So I just make fun of the Italian race. But I've put it on hold now that Chris Cuomo got coronavirus and Italy's been hit hard. So I'm not making fun of American Italians anymore as much as I was, or Italian Americans.
I think I've withheld. There were definitely some jokes in my head. I might have sent a couple on the pod. Yeah, I did say them on the pod. Never mind. But I've been trying, you know. I gotta support Chris and the Italians.
Yeah, I'm devastated, to be honest. Shouts out to Chris Cuomo. We're with you in this, brother.
Mm-hmm. Call mom. All right. Thanks for coming on, Hassan.
All right, later.
All right. Stay safe out there, everybody.
Stay safe. All right.